We are overcoming learning problems. We are mothers and educators who are seeking great well-being for our children. I've got some important announcements for you today and some real help in dangerous times. Now, a few years ago, we would have thought we were being really cute and say, we're going to be dangerous to danger. We're going to be dangerously good. Well, we can't even say that today. Anyway, we're going to attempt to be excellently good mothers and educators to help our children, okay? And I have some help for you in that attempt. Welcome back, everybody. This is Sharon Sarles, and this is what has always been called the Great Shalom Broadcast, and increasingly will be called Overcoming Learning Problems. The Great Shalom, while it means a whole lot to a certain group of Christians, it does not communicate well enough to the wide spectrum of young mothers who need help with their children and their learning problems, and so we need to be more communicative, and so overcoming learning problems. And of course, you and I know that shalom is a Hebrew word that means great well-being. It covers not just peace, but all kinds of well-being together. But since not everybody understands the same thing we do, we're trying to be more communicative. All right. And also, I'm going to change a little bit of the structure. So in times past, you know, I went on short series so that I could unpack a topic a little bit more. But I think it's better to go and structure it one practical, one spiritual, one practical, one spiritual. I got this idea from Dave Asprey, Bulletproof podcast, which, of course, has nothing to do with this podcast. But he just happens to be a good podcaster and a good businessman. And he interviews people who are cutting-edge scientists, which I enjoy. And then he interviews shamans that I think are just poverty-stricken spiritually. So I take what I like from that podcast. And I think probably my listeners should do the same. I've always tried to make this accessible to a wide range of Christians. I always hoped for that. Christians know that that's not always possible. Most Christians are very, very focused on their particular corner of Christianity. Narrowly focused, occasionally narrow-mindedly. But the most important people to reach are people who just are not informed about that conversation at all. So, of course, every child is different, and so no one person is going to want or need all of the topics that I address, except maybe a teacher, but who's very, very interested. So may there be more of that tribe, but at any rate, I'm going to do practical, spiritual, and hope that you take what you need and that you will consider the rest. Take what you need and consider the rest. So take what you need. You know, when you're eating chicken, you can eat the meat and spit out the bones. You know how to do that. Or if you're eating nuts, you eat the meat and spit out the shell. So, goodness, let's do that. Because if we do not, if we are closed-minded to everything except what we already know, then we will be increasingly ignorant and bobble-headed and subject to being weaponized against everyone else. Oh, gee, like we see around us. So let's don't do that. But also let's consider the things that we don't know, because even if we continue to think that that's wrong-headed, we will have influenced our own minds, at the very least, to be a better interlocutor. You know, we can talk better with other people if we understand what they think. And this is basic skill for an educated person. A basic skill for any kind of adult is to be able to hear the other side. Hear the other side. A fool speaks before he hears the other side. Yes? Proverbs. Okay, so the naming, the format. And so last time I was talking about how we could tell what is true. And in the process of doing that, and incidentally, let me say that many of my Christian friends may be somewhat unhappy because I didn't make much use of the Bible in that argument, but I specifically need to reach out to people for whom an appeal to the Bible would not be compelling. They would say that Christians argue in a circularity, that they appeal to the Bible in order to prove the Bible correct. So I just use logic and reason, and hopefully that will lead them. You know, if we can establish some common facts, some common truths, maybe we could get to capital T. And for those of you who know that the Bible is capital T truth, then perhaps you can still make use of the logical arguments. So, but anyway, in the process of that episode, I made mention of a product that I had made previously, which we'll call Dangerous Times. Now, I laid the first tracks of Dangerous Times quite early, maybe, I don't know exactly when, but certainly 2010 or before. And then subsequent to that, I edited it, and because I had called it General Quarters, and I figured no one knew what General Quarters meant. So I called it Carl to Arms, because that's what we've always called it. And when I started loading it up on the website, I could see two things. One, I could not possibly call it Call to Arms today, because even less incendiary words are misconstrued to be violent. Certainly I wasn't suggesting anything violent. But anyway, you can't use that terminology at this point in time in the United States. And incidentally, I repent of being too United States focused. I started as a local broadcast here in Austin, Texas. And you can tell that I have relied heavily on the experts who are in driving distance. And so I had this Texas viewpoint, and my listeners come disproportionately, or have for many, many years disproportionately from Texas. But I have also seen for many years that I have listeners from all over the world. And so I'm just going to repent and not be so USA focused. I welcome all of my listeners. I have a huge contingent from Japan. So thank you, Japan, and welcome. I have quite a few from Singapore. I have from Canada. I have many friends in Canada, and quite a few from Latin America, particularly Brazil and Mexico, quite a few from Europe. And so welcome to everybody. Okay. And I will try. I'm surprised it'll have more from Africa, because I have some online African friends. But welcome to everybody. And please chime in and let us know your perspective from your country, because it's all different. But back to the product. So I also saw that it wasn't edited. I thought it was just going to be a matter of loading it up, and I've spent a week editing. So let no one ask me, am I a full-time minister? Oh my goodness. I have the marks on my calendar to prove it. So we're going back to the original title, Dangerous Times, because that comes right out of Scripture. It's an unpacking of 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the third chapter, and in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, it says, we're in perilous times. And King James says perilous times. We're in dangerous times, and we certainly are. And as I edited that, I saw how very, very, very true it was and up to date for now. And so let me tell you a little bit about that, the history. So I was studying that, and I believe it was given to me for the broadcast, but it was clearly given to me for me. And as I was studying that the first time, it gave my own teaching practice a real new life. Things were getting hard at the community college where I taught. Students were getting much more difficult to teach, and it wasn't just for me, it was for everybody. And this gave me a new insight on how to teach and how to do classroom management, and gave me a lot of encouragement, and it kept me going for at least 2 years. And then there were 2 years that were just really H-E-double-L. Really, I just couldn't imagine how bad it was, and it wore me out. And it wasn't just the students. Now, in those years, I would often go to a particular festival and see a professor from a senior university, and he was livid and angry. And then when he retired, he was such a different person, I didn't even recognize him. And I saw in my own institution, any of us who had stayed there 10 years, about the 10-year mark, we just became livid. And so I thought, well, it's me. And certainly I was getting worn out. But things also were not the same. You know, my life and limb were at risk, very clearly so. I often had to have campus police walk me to my car after class when it was dark. A couple of times had to talk with my student, with a campus police officer present. And I got lauded for how well I did that. But then when it was staff members who were threatening me, then that ended up bleeding into the campus police. And so even at different campus, I'd get police coming into my class to see what was going on, but of course, nothing bad was going on. I'd always had great reviews. I had the chair who hired me retired, and an avowed communist came to be department chair, and I thought we got on fairly well. You know, he had his tiffs with everybody. He did say something to me about being a Christian. And of course, a professional, I just didn't say anything. But things just were really bad in those years. And so then I retired, or quit, and for several years stayed away. But during those times, I would often have to stay off campus, even having office hours off campus, because I really was afraid. And then when I came back, while I was at a new campus, there was no reason to be afraid. I had daylight hours. Everything was fine. Still, there was some real weirdness going on. Weirdness, which I can only put down to the legacy that the communists left, because a man who had previously been my friend was now department chair. But things that were objective were off, like I was reported as not having certified my role when I, in fact, certified it within the hour of being permitted to. So it was too much, and I'm gone, and now I can talk. But recently, looking back, I realized that I had a professional paper in fall of 2012 that ended up being the most talked about in the conference, and the conference was held on a campus of the school for which I worked, and I said something about the usefulness of Christianity, in fact, that only Christianity would solve the problem, and this was so shocking. And looking back, that's when the real persecution started. So dangerous times, right? And of course, today in the news, we see dangerous times. So originally, it was general quarters, dangerous times, and we have excised everything about call to arms. But if I said call to arms in that context, all it meant was get engaged, wake up, pay attention. If I said general quarters, that meant if teaching is your vocation or mothering is your vocation, then get to it, pay attention. And the image that I have is Star Trek, when the aliens start firing on the Starship Enterprise, then everybody has to go to their assigned places. They're not in the bar anymore. They have a number forward, whatever is the bar. Then they have to, or in their sleeping quarters, they have to go instead, if they're an engineer, to engineering, if they're a bridge officer, to the bridge, and so forth. That's what general quarters means. And so if you're a teacher, pay attention to your teaching and get there and be awake and be aware of the dangerous times and do a good job. That's what it means. Anyway, so it's called dangerous times. And I have some more tracks. I thought I had 10. I put 11 in the product. And I have made it available because I see how vital it is for now, for right now. It allowed me to teach 2 years happily, and at least I survived 2 years more. And then I took a break and survived 2 years more. So I think it will help you a lot as a parent or as a teacher. And you see there are tracks that are labeled teachers and educators, but it will be good for all of you to hear what is said to everybody. And because it really, parents are the primary educators of their children, and teachers need to be hearing what the parents are hearing too, and none of this fortress mentality, because that does not work. Okay, so go to the shop or the store on the website, and you can get there either by putting in greatshalom.org or by overcominglearningproblems.com. I think it's org. So go there. Go to the store, and you will find the product. And it's 11 tracks and not 10. And some of them are much longer than episodes. And you'll see that there is a huge price cut. So I am now selling this at 10% of what would be the normal price, the normal market value of this, 10%, because you need it now. And I'm not going to keep it on 10%. But it is now, because I think it's so vital. We are in dangerous times. And if you go through that 2 Timothy 3, first part of the third chapter, it's amazing how true that is, that somebody could write that. It's prophetic. There is no doubt. And it's so much more true in 2021 than it was in 2010, 2011, 2012. So please, 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 I'm begging you. You need it. Okay, so I think it will be helpful for you to consider the fact that a college instructor is just a little bit ahead of a public school teacher instructor in terms of undergoing change. So a university professor has more leeway, and a college instructor has somewhat more leeway than a public school teacher, but is more insecure than either one, because they're easily fired. None of us are, or almost none of us are full-time, and so we're easily fired, easily intimidated. But the colleges change, do cultural change ahead of the public school in general. And I was in the discipline that saw it and promoted it, namely sociology. So in sociology, we went from being a science in the 60s to being almost entirely, if not entirely, an ideology by 2020. And there I was. I took sociology in undergrad in the early 80s, and so I lived through most of that change. Change. So even when I came in the 80s, it was hostile to Christianity. In fact, I remember the comment that my professor made the first day of college. The first day of college, that was clearly and overtly hostile to Christianity. And as wasn't that young, you know, I wasn't 17. And I knew that I was going to take a sociology degree on my way to seminary. But I was really, truly bummed. And I had no support. So sociology, as far as I can tell, was hostile to Christianity even in 1984. But the bias toward the conflict theory has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, to where critical race theory actually came out of sociology, came out of that conflict theory. And guess who was the founder of the conflict category, conflict school of thought? None other than Marx. And in my last semester, after the methods lecture and before we launched into everything else, I simply took Marx and I took Weber, Max Weber. I read from the book. I read from the book about their method. And Marx said, I don't care anything about science. I'm increasing conflict because that's what I think will make the world better. And then, of course, Weber talks very carefully about how we can do social science as a science. Just stunningly clear. I did not have to lecture on this. I did not have to make a comment. All I had to do was read it, look at my students, and they got it. Well, fortunately, I had a section that had a lot of university level students, but they got it to the point where they gasped. They got it. So that's where critical race theory comes from, is that conflict theory. It comes directly from Marx, even in the most sanitized version. And then also the kind of sexual moray change that we've had in our society. So from the days of Kinsey in the 50s, where normal sexuality was assumed to be regnant, but then this kind of free thinking, a little mischievous and so forth, and Kinsey was put in the textbooks as purported to be science, which of course now we know is completely not science. It was biased research, quote unquote, from the beginning, self-selected people that did not represent the population whatsoever, and this was taught as regular by the 80s. It was in the intro text, in the all of the undergraduate work. And by the time we got after about 2020, we had chapters that, for instance, there was a picture of a pregnant man as the number one picture on the beginning of the chapter of sex, gender, marriage, and family. I would put those two lectures together, sex, gender, marriage, and family. And by the time that I got to, it was fall of 2014, I did what I always do. I took one of the controversial issues and I would put the pro and the con, and the pro and the con of each of the pro and the con. And I had done this every semester. That's what we do. There may be a downside of doing that, but that's what we do. And I got through the pro. We couldn't even get to the next section because my students stood up and yelled. So I dismissed class. It was a class that was actually taught in the building of high school, which I think shouldn't be the case. Early college start should be in the college buildings. otherwise the high school norms obtain. And anyway, so I let the my liaison, who was the counselor at the high school, know that we had had a classroom discipline problem. And then it was Friday afternoon, after 3, when I got an email from a man who had failed to identify himself. It turned out to be the principal, who accused me of trying to fail the students. Like, that's out of left field. Anyway, of course, I went right to my department chair, asked him how he would like me to handle it. He said, well, just teach it again. That's how we do it. Well, right. I'm going to teach it again. So I put it in writing. And fortunately, I had sterling reputation from the left side of that. I could make good citations, put it all in writing. The students refused to do it. I was able to navigate by obedience to my chair so that it didn't become a big hoorah between the college and the school. Discovered later the school was having knockdown, drag-out fights at the school board over similar issues. But that was over simply, what was that? Gay marriage, I think? So that was 2014, that we could not have a discussion because, now think about that, Here I am, a liberal proponent in a liberal discipline that's pushing the envelope and had always been pushing the envelope, and the high school students were out ahead of us and would not brook the discussion. The discussion, which was pushing in a liberal direction, but they thought it was better to get up and yell, and they were backed up by the school principal. Anyway, so today it's different. So that was 2014. This is 2021. So we've got 8 years, right? 6 years. 6 years. And now at every information desk at and each campus, there are little cards that talk about gender pronouns. And we've got many folks who are cross-dressing, and we have to be very careful not to insult anyone's feelings, because the people who are doing things the way they always have done them would be very much maligned and likely fired if we were perceived as discriminating. So things have sort of changed around, and who feels oppressed has changed dramatically. Okay, so dangerous times. Dangerous times. So I remember my mother being feeling that it was really difficult, because in a sixth grade class, she couldn't say boys and girls anymore. And of course, that was, 1970-something. But she was used to saying boys and girls to sixth graders, to elementary school children. But now she realized that she would not be permitted to do that. Now, my mother would just raise her eyebrow and expect and have that expectation fulfilled, that kids who were doing the wrong thing, for instance, on the playground, would do the right thing when she raised her eyebrow. And then I, decades later, was told I must never call students down in the classroom. And unfortunately, I did start having classroom discipline problems. And I decided it was my duty to control the classroom for the students who were learning. But calling someone down was not what I was permitted to do, according to one of the campus deans. And so, and clearly I was a racist if I did so. So I had to find other methods. But because I had to struggle with all of this, and I think now the public school teachers are struggling with it. Now, you may already be more advanced than I realize, but here where I live, some of this new sexual perversion teaching is coming in, and the critical race theory and hostility to Christianity, and teachers who have been teaching in a fairly conservative, well, I don't know, Austin's not conservative, but Texas is. They are truly bewildered, and they're not permitted to talk to the parents, and some of the parents are hopping angry, hopping mad. So it is dangerous times, and that's just in education. I know that all of you have watched the maelstrom in national politics in the United States, and we have had just barely our First Amendment rights in church to be reinstated, really, by the Supreme Court. We've had a number of other changes. For instance, what was once called slavery and genocide is now called a cultural difference. So we're in times, and certainly we've had ministries and political commentators no longer shadow banned, but outright banned and deplatformed and maligned. And so we're in dangerous times. And I know one minister who is very careful. He says that in the 6-second delay between when he speaks and it's streamed, AI is catching and cutting out anything that the powers that be don't like. So he's very careful what he says. And so, dangerous times. So what I have given you, it's not because I saw the future, but because I read Greek and was struggling with it myself. So the Bible, the Holy Spirit perhaps saw the future. So I think it's very helpful. So get the product. Get the product. Dangerous times. Also, I want to make this announcement that now we are going to have a more organized lioness tribe, and we've been talking about that. We're not the tiger mothers, we are the lionesses. We are here to find great well-being and better education for our children. So I have been learning about prayer and learning about so many other things. So you are once again invited to ask me to pray, and we will pray together. But I've discovered also, it's been, you know, a reminder to me that in covenant there's usually a sacrifice. And you can find this with Abraham making the covenant of God, or you find you know, Indian blood brothers, that as our understanding was when I was 6 years old, we had to cut our fingers and share our blood. So I'm not suggesting you do that literally, but you understand what I mean, that there's always a sacrifice. And so I'm going to ask for a donation for being an official lioness. And we will be in covenant. And just as you know that there is power in prayer, you also know that as we agree together on any matter, we pray more powerfully. And I am now learning that if we're a house of prayer, and that means people who are covenanted together with each other as well as with God, then we can move larger structures, as I am instructed, and you will understand more about that. So if you would like to, you can go on the website. I have now spent the time to rearrange the tech. You may give a general donation anytime for any amount you wish, but you may also sign up to be a lioness tribe, and we're going to set the lioness recurring monthly donation at $17.17, which, you know, is lower than what normally a ministry needs. They actually need to set that at $30 an hour for the cost of their staff and so forth. But so I used 17:17 because of Proverbs 17:17. It's a great lioness verse. Proverbs 17, chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We are in dangerous times, but we will help each other. Okay, so go to the website. You can go to greatshalom.org, or you can go to overcoming learning problems. And right there on the right-hand widget, you can sign up to be a lioness. You can sign up for infrequent announcements too. I don't do a newsletter at this time, but if you want to sign up on the form, you can sign up on the form without being a lioness. Okay, and there will also be forthcoming a chapter, an order, something for teachers. But for now, we've got lots for you on the website, lots in that product, the Dangerous Time product, and stay in touch. So when we get critical mass, then we'll have some private monthly meetings, so there'll be some Q&A and some more intimate contact and content. And of course, I will pray for you specifically, and PayPal now makes it possible for you to give me your name and give me some other information when you sign up. Okay, so bless you. I've already overspent my time, so bless you. God wants total well-being for all children, and so do we.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I know you want to get my Dangerous Times Secrets to Victory for Parents and Educators. You need it. It will revolutionize the way you deal with your children or teach your class. I guarantee it. Vital Teaching. 4 CDs in a set, $50. Write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
30. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And this podcast is found wherever you find podcasts. If you're not finding it, let me know. Okay, and please share it. Thank you very much.